In the New International Version, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. These are the words of Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now this morning we're stretching our technology a bit further, and we're going to have a slide PowerPoint presentation as well at the same time as I'm speaking. So prayers please for Elizabeth and myself that we operate in sync during this time. But God's people are called to be fruitful. And as the picture clearly shows, true disciples, followers of Jesus, are rooted in Christ. The vine puts its roots deep into the ground. The sap is drawn up the stem and begins to move along the branches, which begin to grow and ultimately to bear fruit. And yet sadly, today, we find many folk, rather than being rooted in Christ, are rooted in self. What do I want? What makes me feel good? It's my time, or me time. What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? All of these attitudes are a fruit that comes from putting faith and trust in ourselves, and the consequence is deadness. But actually, worse than nothing at all, we find that there is fruit that we begin to see appearing. Quarrels, anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, drunkenness, immoral behaviour, swearing, selfishness, all these things reveal the true state of our hearts. And we should never forget that this is the position that all of us were born into. It's not a case of pointing a finger at other people. All of us were born in this state. Our lives were owned by God's enemy. Since the fall, Satan has a right to our lives, and it's passed down to each person. The result is eternal separation from God. And whilst we were created to worship, our spirit is born dead to God because of the sin. Way back at the beginning of creation, that pair on the ground that Paul was talking about at the beginning of the service. And so we begin to worship self. And remember that I is in the middle of sin. And most certainly the culture in which we live today encourages this worship. Packaging that echoes, "You're worth it." Therapies that insist, if it feels good, then do it. Influences all around us that point us away from God and encourage us to seek answers elsewhere. So what can we do? How can we change? How can we move from this position of being rooted in self? Well, God sent Jesus to be the means of setting us free from the hold of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin. The separation from God that is rightly ours, Jesus took in his place. Remember the words, "My Father, why have you forsaken me?" Then, when he rose again on the third day, he overcame death forever and enabled those who put their faith and trust in him to receive eternal life, not just at the point of death, but from the moment that they invite Jesus into their lives. At that moment, they're transferred from Satan's control to God's kingdom, and their spirit is set free to worship God. As Jesus comes to guide and lead, he does so in the power of his Holy Spirit. And so a change begins to take place in the life of the new Christian. The first fruits of God's Spirit are love, joy, and peace. These the new Christian immediately realizes, an overwhelming sense of love and peace filling their heart and mind. Then quickly follows a joy that knows no limit, a desire to tell others about what has happened. Everything around seems to take on a brighter hue. The sky's bluer, the grass is greener. These times don't last, but they're a confirmation of what has happened in the believer's heart. And prayers are answered quickly too. You speak to a new believer and they'll say, wow, it's amazing. I prayed and God answered. And it doesn't last forever, that phase. It soon passes too. But again, it's a way that God uses to encourage the new Christian in their walk. And gradually the other fruit begins to appear. And we see the graciousness of God shining through in a person's response to situations. A new kindness and patience when dealing with difficult people or situations. And finally, the last part of the fruit to develop, self-control. And yet those who profess to be Christian will be quick to testify that this fruit doesn't grow overnight, nor is it necessarily in full abundance. And here lies our message today. We can settle for second best, but that's not what God calls us to. God calls his people to be fruitful and to share that fruitfulness out in the community where he has placed them, that others may benefit from that fruit. God calls us to serve, not to be served, or to lord it over others. He calls us to live and to love and to care, and to share and to be good and kind, faithful and gentle wherever we are, in the dark and difficult places sometimes we find ourselves, as well as the happy and joyful places. But he doesn't expect us to become like this in our own strength. Indeed, he knows that we can't. And this is why he gives us the Holy Spirit to work in us, changing and renewing. But Holy Spirit, like our Heavenly Father and Jesus, will only work where we allow him. He will never force himself upon us. We are to invite, to allow, to open our lives to their cleansing and healing and renewing. And so we find that on occasions, even if we're fruitful, there will be times when God prunes us back. Something may be taken from us. It may be painful, but the reason is to bring forth even more fruit for God. You see, our Heavenly Father is the one who tends the vine. He both owns the vine and feeds and waters it and prunes it so that the fruit is good and wholesome. Our responsibility is to be faithful to God, to work where he has placed us and to do what he commands. The key to faithfulness is, of course, remaining in Christ. We can only remain if we are already there. How can you remain somewhere if you're not already in that place? So I want to ask you this morning, do you really know Jesus as a person, as your friend? Do you want to know him? He wants to be your friend, to take your life and turn it upside down. It won't be a bed of roses. In fact, it may get worse before it gets better because the enemy doesn't want to lose you. But Jesus will not let you go if you give your life to him. Allow him to come into your life and to fill you with his love and his joy and his peace in a way that you've never ever experienced before. In such a way is the Father glorified, for people will see the change in you. But for those who do not know Jesus, for those who do know Jesus and are allowing him to guide and direct your paths and your plans, through you too, God is glorified as others see God at work in your life and in the circumstances around you. And for new and more mature Christians, there will be the spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit growing and developing in your lives. Don't settle for second best. Don't say, I wish I had more patience, I wish I had more goodness or whatever. Seek God. Ask him to show you where the stumbling blocks are that are preventing the growth of good, wholesome fruit in your life. And finally, through your actions, through your words, through your prayers, by the grace and mercy of God and in his power, others will come to know Christ. We cannot make them. It's not us. Another person coming to Christ is nothing to do with us. It's the work of God's Spirit. But we are instruments through which he works. And this is so important to remember. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. Even the good things that we do are like filthy rags before the righteousness of Christ. We're called to abide in Christ and allow him to feed us, to guide us, to encourage us, to nurture us. He will use others in these processes, but ultimately it's God at work in our lives that effects the change. So we've seen that God calls his people to fruitfulness. Let's quickly look at what impedes that fruit. We've already said that to remain in Christ, you need to be in him in the first place. And unbelief is the main cause of the lack of fruitfulness. There are many workers in a church fellowship. Not all of them are Christians. Some of them are on the way. Some of them have made an initial commitment and are working through what that means in other aspects of their lives. Some have given their life to Jesus a long time. But there are those who do not know him as personal Saviour and Lord. And these people continue to work in their own strength and in a complete lack of fruitfulness is the result. They might be successful, but there'll be no fruit. And when we talk about fruit, sometimes we tend to think fruit is, oh, if we get a lot of people that come along to an event, then that's fruit. That was fruitfulness. But the fruitfulness that we're looking at here is God's fruit and the growth and discipleship and people moving on and maturing in the faith. Never forget, God is not interested in what we do. We can never, ever earn our salvation. He's concerned about the state of our heart. Abiding in Christ keeps us from being distracted. Many of you know how easily I get distracted. Someone asked me something, I said, oh yeah, I'll go and get it. And by the time I got across to the other side of the room, somebody's asked me something else and I've completely forgotten what it was that I was going to do. You can smile because you know me well, but that can happen on a much bigger scale in the Christian faith. God calls us to something. We set off in obedience. Then something happens or we become involved in something else. And the first task that we should have given our time and our energy to, that was God's calling in our life, it gets forgotten and we've been led away. And the fruit of faithfulness has begun to shrivel and to die. And it doesn't have to be wrong things that cause the fruit to be stunted. Not doing good things can affect the fruit as well. Missing an opportunity to care, to give a quiet word of encouragement, a help with a meal, or offering time to someone who wants to talk. Not being what God has called us to be causes the fruit of goodness to get brown patches on it. And as all of you gardeners know, fruit needs food to grow. Abiding in Christ enables us to feed on him, to be strengthened and fed as we read his word. But if we neglect our daily Bible reading or our prayer time, opportunity to talk with our Heavenly Father, then we're depriving the fruit of the food that it needs to grow, and so it will all be impoverished and puny. As I've said, all Christians are given gifts and abilities and are expected to use them in service to God, but God's not interested in our busyness. We don't score extra stars if we can fill our whole diary and say, look God, this is what I've been doing for you today. His concern is our fruitfulness. We can be very busy without being fruitful. So we need to check how our time is being spent, where we're putting in time and effort, and ask ourselves, is this really what God is calling me to? Or is this something that I enjoy doing and think he would like me to do? And wrong attitudes are something else that affects the fruit that we grow. In this month's church magazine, I've written about a pair of shoes that cause me pain, but I choose to still wear them. There can be attitudes in our life that affect our fruit, but we still allow them because we enjoy the immediate pleasure that they bring. Yet really, what we're doing in all of these cases is reverting to our humanity and worshipping self once more, denying Jesus access to the central throne of our hearts. temper, white lies, speaking behind another's back, control, manipulation. They all come from self, and if our fruit is to be pure and wholesome, they need to be removed. So this morning, we're moving forward as a fellowship under God to seek to enable folk to become the people that God has created them to be fruitful for God where they are, on the front line. This is what church here at Roman Road is about. It's about equipping, enabling people to grow into the fullness of the calling that they have, that God has put on their lives, and enable them to be able to be going out into the community and ministering in that gifting and ability that God has given to them. It has to start with Jesus and knowing him personally. It's not about simply knowing about him. So as Paul has mentioned, we're running two courses over the coming months. Life on the front line and fruitfulness on the front line. And they're like steps 2 and 3, as Paul's already explained. You have to do life on the front line before you do fruitfulness on the front line. Can't jump. But both courses are aimed at people who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, who've asked him to come into their lives and have given their lives to him. Maybe you're not in that position yet and you'd like to know about this whole Christianity thing, what it means to ask Jesus into your life, to trust in his work on the cross and all the phrases that Christians love to use that are thoroughly confusing. But we'll also be running a Christianity Explored course, and I do recommend that because it's a really good grounding to what the Christian faith is all about. And that course can be run day or evenings depending on the call for it. So my plea to you this morning is please don't leave this morning without giving some thought to what you can do to enable God to transform you into a fruitful branch that glorifies him. Please don't settle for second best. Amen.